Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Right now in studio, we have Laura Sanko from, you know what, from Lee Summit. That's what you rep first, but also from the UFC.
Repping hard.
You were serving as the color commentator on Saturday night out at KCFA 25, as I was the ring announcer for 13 fights at the Truman Memorial Building. And it was a great night because we had a giant raffle to raise money for the Casey Hope Lodge. And we gave away all kinds of great stuff, like 11 or 12 different items, and sold T-shirts with all the money going to Casey Hope Lodge. And you had a chance to call the fights. And that was fun because, again, for people that love either boxing or MMA, I always encourage people, go out to a local show. So you can sit close to the cage. You can see people that are fighting because they love it and because that's their passion. And you will see some fighters that turn into to fighters that are good enough to take it to the next level. But that was fun on Saturday night.
That was a great night. You know, like you say, everybody's got to start somewhere, so you never know who you're watching there. Those fights, I forget the difference between, you know, a UFC card and sitting there at a KCFA card.
Right.
And I love that level of fighting because no one's there to get a win. They're there to prove something to their family and their fans and the people, you know, all their friends that came there to watch them. So everybody puts their heart on the line. And we had a lot of quick finishes early, but then 13 fights, so that's a long night, Steven.
I keep looking over at you like because early on, and see, and we can jinx it because we're all, you know, anyone that's working the fights, the crew, whether it be from corner people to people working up in the cage, the photographers. I mean, it takes a whole bunch of people to put on a fight like that, even when it's not on TV nationally. You know, they do a broadcast, they put it on YouTube, but a lot of people come together, the commission, and so we'll start early on. All of a sudden, you know, there was a 10 second stoppage. There's a 31 second stoppage on a first round.
Was the 10 second the submission?
Yeah,
because that was crazy. I've never seen a faster guillotine in my life.
So, you know, and guess what? I'm not the fastest moving guy out of the cage in and out. And so, you know,
I
always say something walking out of the cage. It's Saturday night and it's time to fight. Yeah, and I go down the stairs, sit down, take a big drink of my Diet Coke, and then as soon, ding 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 ding, and I hadn't even looked up yet. I go, and the guy was tapping. I go, what?
We don't keep official stats at KCFA, but we went ahead and made that the fastest submission in KCFA history.
Right. And so I go back up like, this bout comes in at 10 seconds of the first round. And I didn't see it, but I assume it was one hell of a submission. But yeah. And so,
sure was.
And then some of the fights went with the distance and we kind of settled in. But again, if you haven't come out to the fights, I encourage you to come out and enjoy yourself. It's a lot of fun. And my wife has developed into the person, like, you know, I always have an extra ticket or two, and she's always first in line. She goes, I want to go. Okay, all right. Damn the kids. And so I think the next card will be December 2nd out at Truman Memorial Building. So put that on your calendar if you'll come out, and I'll be ring announcing once again. And so Laura is here. Usually she's here with James Krause. There's no James Krause. I just want to make sure. Did he really have something else that came up, or there's still some perhaps tender feelings from the waxing that took place last week?
Is there?
I think both might be a little bit true. He did have some business.
So he did have business.
He did have business to attend to this morning.
Right.
I don't know that anything involving me is much of a priority at the moment. I think there might be some tender feelings, mostly in his legs.
Did you get
in his loins?
So you promised
legs
that you promised that you would get him a professional waxing to finish the job.
Yeah,
because there was only part of his leg was waxed.
It's only so much time
on the show yesterday, and so did that happen? Did you follow through with that?
It did.
Was he able to?
Yes, I made him an appointment at the salon that I go to. Very
See,
nice.
You followed through with your promise.
Spa,
right?
I paid for it. I sent him. He went,
and he did go.
He did go. He sent me videos.
Ooh.
His problem was that they only went maybe an inch or two above the knee so that it looked like he was wearing hair biker shorts.
Who doesn't like a good pair of hair shorts,
yeah, hair
by
shorts.
The way? Very comfortable.
So he had some hair shorts on, I think, and he said he went home and shaved that. So all taken care of now.
So he had, the extra work he had to put in to get rid of the hair shorts did not he
Yeah,
did not appreciate
I actually
that.
Think it's... Yeah, I think... had nothing to do with the pain, which he admitted that the place I go is 10 times more painful than what Rachel did to him in here.
Right.
But yeah, I think it's the upkeep.
Yeah.
And
upkeep.
Yes.
So now it's a lot of maintenance needs to be put in to keep that look fresh.
Yeah, and like a dog that's just been clipped, you know, he had that kind of, they look shameful.
Right.
The first
yeah.
couple days.
Yeah, they kind yeah.
Did he look shameful?
Yes, he totally
gym?
Did. I saw him at the gym and he had pants on for the first time in years. I'm like, just own it.
That is
He's
true.
Got nice legs. He's an athlete. Just wear them.
Chaining in some pants. There's nothing, Jake chains in pants. There's nothing wrong with that. We'll take a break. Laura Sanko is in studio. We'll talk about UFC 216 coming up after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Because I told you, Laura Sanko, UFC reporter in studio, that I was kind of lukewarm on UFC 216. And then I watched UFC tonight, last night, and watched the lengthy back and forth between El Cucuy, Tony Ferguson, and Kevin Lee, and I found it to be very entertaining, and I like it. Like, I think I have a pretty good BS detector when I can tell that when fighters are just trying to sell tickets versus when there's true animosity and dislike, and I was sensing some real animosity last night, and even like Daniel Cormier was trying to ask questions. You could tell he was kind of mm-hmm. getting a kick out of it and laughing. Like, hey, for once, it's not yeah. me up there, and John Jones getting pissed off at each other. And so you give us some background on this main event that I think is going to be a hell of a fight between, and I'll keep saying this because at one point this was my nickname, and this is what my
it
mother.
It still is your nickname.
Right. You know, it is, but it originally came from, that's El Cucuy is...
The boogeyman,
the
right?
Mexican boogeyman. And so when I was a little boy, and I did not want to go to bed, I wanted to watch TV. And either my grandma or my mom would say, you better go to bed. And by the way, I was like five. El Cucuy will come and take you away. El Cucuy.
That's how my grandma kept us out of the basement.
Right.
Like we tried to go down the basement. No, mijo.
El Cucuy's
mijo.
Down there.
El Cucuy.
And I'm like,
man.
That's emotional yeah. distress.
I need to incorporate fear into my parenting more.
Yeah, you want to go down the bed? And so then later on, it backfired
wow.
on him. Hey, can you go downstairs, mijo, and get that box out of the base? I go, El Cucuy's down there. I'm
right.
not going down the right. So El Cucuy against Kevin Lee. You were there when the animosity started. What happened?
I was. I don't know that they were friendly before this happened, but it really kicked off after Kevin Lee fought Michael Chiesa, and I want to say it was Nashville. City doesn't matter, I guess. The ending was, I mean, Kevin went out there and really put a smashing on Michael. I love Michael, but none of the fight was going Michael's way. And Kevin took his back, like Kevin does. He's amazing at that. And sunk in a rear naked choke. The problem was that Mario Yamasaki stopped that fight early. Everybody agrees that Mario stopped the fight early. The contention was what would have happened had he not stopped it early. Most people say, listen, he was on the way out anyway. It's a foregone conclusion. Regardless, afterward, Kevin did his interview with Fox, and he did talk back with the studio. So I didn't participate in it, but I was standing right next to him. And Tony Ferguson happened to be working the Fox desk that day. So he's talking to the desk in L.A. from Nashville, and he can't see anybody. He can only hear them. And Tony, and nor can I, or anybody else standing around. But apparently Tony Ferguson, after I watched it later, just lit into him saying, yeah, great fight, but how did it feel to be smashed on the mat? And then Kevin just went off. Like, I don't know what fight you were watching. You guys need to get some real reporters on this desk. This guy has no idea what he's talking about. I was fighting a southpaw. He said that I hit him with a, you know. He was just pointing out everything that Tony had said incorrectly during the broadcast. Tony didn't take too kindly to that, and off to the races we went with
and Ferguson
a nice beef.
Also said when they asked him about a potential matchup, he's not ready.
that's the other. I mean, that's the true underlying thing. I think Tony Ferguson has been in line for a title shot forever. He's on a 9-fight win streak, which is unheard of in the UFC. You don't boxing. You go on these long runs. That does not happen in MMA. He's got the longest winning streak in UFC history right now. In UFC history, period, possibly. No, that wouldn't make sense because Demetrius Johnson. Never mind, I didn't say that. Kevin.
He seems dismissive of Kevin Lee.
Very dismissive of Kevin.
He thinks that he shouldn't be in this fight with him.
And to Tony's point, Kevin has only been doing MMA for 4 years, period. That is what's crazy.
The Motown Phenom, Nate Buchady. I know you like the nicknames.
Motown Phenom.
Right.
And
I like that.
You want to talk about a guy who's got limitless potential, but he hasn't fought the level of fighter that Tony's fought. That's true. But, you never know when you're looking at the next Conor McGregor. And I think my stock on Kevin Lee is so high. I love that kid. I love them both. It's going to be a great fight.
We'll get more from Laura Sanko on UFC 216 after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Okay, before we get into some other topics and some other issues with the UFC 216 fight card, I just want to get your thoughts on the actual matchups. And we'll just stick with the three main fights. And so El Cucuy, Tony Ferguson against the Motown Phenom, Kevin Lee. Let's start there. That's the main event, and it's for an interim title. First off, the winner will fight who? That's
a big
topic.
Question.
So what's not only an interim title, but what's the prize for the winner, the next opponent, you think?
Oh, man, not McGregor.
So it's not going to be Conor McGregor.
I don't think so.
He's going to fight Nate Diaz next,
yes,
right?
Yes, I think so. That's and again, happen. I'm not speaking officially.
But I want that to happen. I think everyone wants that to happen. That's
I don't see Conor McGregor taking quote unquote normal fights anymore. I think they're all going to be money fights, super fights to one extent or another. I don't really see him going back down to reign and defend a whole bunch. Maybe I could be wrong. But
everyone in this room every fight fan listening would be thrilled to watch another Conor McGregor Nate Diaz fight.
Yes,
because it's nothing but action.
Trilogy, right?
Yeah, I mean, and it's fun. You know, that's the one thing. If you can get two guys that you know are going to give you a good fight,
yeah,
and they're willing to fight each other multiple times, that takes away the fear of spending money on a pay per view and feeling like you get screwed over. And mm-hmm. that's like boxing now has that with Canelo and Triple G. You know now it's going to be a good fight. There was controversy, but it's a good fight. And you know they're willing to fight again. So I'll see you on May 5th. I'll see you Cinco de Mayo. And they take advantage of that. And that's what you have in Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz. And so why not? So I know some people I don't want to see that again. Hell, I do. Because both fights have been unbelievably competitive. So
it's a tiebreaker.
Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah,
you need the rubber match.
Absolutely. It seems like you think Kevin Lee has a better shot of pulling the upset than most people.
I do. Tony Ferguson is on the streak for a reason. His last 5 fights have been bonus win. I mean, think about that. He's won a fight bonus in his last 5 fights straight. That is crazy.
Not only winning, but winning impressively.
Yeah, but Kevin Lee is just something really, really special. And it's not, to his detriment. I guess it's saying it's not his fault that he hasn't fought the same caliber of fighter as Tony Ferguson has. He just hasn't been in the game long enough. And this, honestly, Tony's really going to be the first big fight of his career. This is a big, big test for him.
So why did Lee get this fight then?
Oh, he's so special. I don't know how to explain it. He can shoot a double leg across the mat, and his takedown accuracy is absolutely incredible. And when he gets you down, his MO, and just for people who haven't seen him fight, is he's got good striking, but he's going to shoot at some point, whether off the fence or he's going to shoot at distance. He's going to get you down, and then he's going to shuck a shoulder and take the back and get the rear naked choke. I mean, that is kind of a standard Kevin Lee fight, which sounds like it could be boring, right? Somehow he makes all of it incredibly exciting, incredibly fast-paced. He's just fun to watch. But Tony Ferguson has some of the craziest striking you'll ever see. He throws cartwheel kicks. He throws elbows from weird angles. Just incredibly. He's when they say, oh, so-and-so is a tough opponent to prepare for. Tony Ferguson definitely falls in that category because he throws stuff that you don't see when you're sparring at the gym. So I'm excited for this fight overall. Who's very pumped for this.
Official pick.
Ugh. My official pick.
It's okay to pick El Cucuy.
Ah.
Or you could go out on a limb and
I'm gonna pick Kevin Lee.
Wow.
I am.
You wanna
take down?
You wanna bet with anybody? No.
No. I don't.
But how's he gonna win?
Rear naked choke.
Okay. Whoa.
So the question I have for you is Demetrius Johnson is, I'm reading on ESPN.com about how he's going for the all-time record for most title defenses. You just mentioned that guys don't rattle off long winning streaks.
Yeah.
He's trying to make his 11th consecutive title defense.
Which is crazy.
And it's not the main event?
I couldn't wrap my mind around it when it happened this way. I think.
And he's recognized as the best fighter pound for pound in the UFC, right?
As he. Yes, in most conversations,
a lot
yes.
of people, but yes. if he's not one, he's two.
Yes, you know? Exactly. Okay. He should be. After this, he should be one. I mean, you can't deny that. If he holds the record for the number of consecutive title defenses, you have to give him the title, however you feel about his fighting style, which, again, that's a whole other conversation because it's not like he's boring. It's just he doesn't have the biggest personality outside the gym. And he's not a big guy. And those are the biggest two factors against him in terms of popularity, quote unquote.
After the fights in Kansas City, before the fights, after the workout, I asked him questions about that, and he went off. And
yeah.
He threw some curse words in there. He did not hold back.
You talked to him at the height of his pissed offedness.
Right. That's exactly
the
right.
Word.
And then after the fight, I was in the press conferences,
yeah.
and we asked him questions about moving forward. And he was not afraid to say that he doesn't think the UFC publicity machine gets behind him like it does with its other champs. And he and there was a lot of talk about this fight not happening too. So he has been complaining about being slighted, and now mm-hmm. as he goes for the record, he's not the main event. He's behind an interim title fight.
The only partial explanation that I can make is that he was scheduled to fight Ray Borg. On what was that card? Now I'm forgetting. Was it 215?
Right when Borg got hurt.
Yeah, Borg got sick and had to pull out. So they had to reshuffle this fight, and I think that's part of the reason is let's get it done as quickly as possible. Let's get it done. And I just wonder what arrangements have been made behind the scenes because
okay.
he has not. I haven't personally heard anything negative from Demetrius about being pissed off again about where he is on this card. I'm sure there's a part of him. That's not happy about it.
Well, Ferguson said that he felt bad because he thought Demetrius
other fighters,
should be the main
yeah,
event.
I just haven't seen Demetrius
right.
go off publicly. So it makes me think that maybe that they've kind of compensated him otherwise, and maybe he's seen the light in terms of who's a needle mover and he gets pay-per-view points. So I don't know. Or does he get pay-per-view points?
Well, how about the fight? Let's see what you think of Ray Borg's opportunity to pull the upset, and how about this nickname, Nate? The Taz-Mexican Devil.
I like
if your
that.
Last name's Borg, why is your nickname not Psy? Or,
right. Oh, yeah, right. It's
one.
Taken. You
know. I know. Too many of them.
Right.
By the way, is that fight going to happen? Cyborg and Holm? She tweeted apparently that it's off now, or?
It's not official. It never was.
She's complaining
inked.
About money.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was never inked. It was just. But Cyborg likes to get people excited. And sort of announce things as if they're happening, and then everybody gets behind it, and then it's like too late to stop the excitement.
The UFC is excited how she was tweeting out everyone's purse over like every
nope,
card. Where,
I don't think they love that.
Where she thinks that the female fighters are not getting paid enough, and she's not getting paid the amount that other champions were, and showing every purse like in the last 2 years.
I don't think they like that. No,
they were like, all right. No.
Does she have a point though? Do female fighters deserve more?
I mean, not if you're Ronda. I mean, I don't see how you can say that and look at how they treated Ronda Rousey. It has nothing to do with being male or female. It has a lot to do with
what you
numbers.
Bring in.
It is what you bring in.
She claims she's getting, they're offering her less than what she made against Tanya Evinger. So if that's true, does she have a gripe there?
She might have a gripe, but I would be griping to my manager. You know, why am I sliding down the scale if I won and I'm champ now?
First, she was complaining about getting into the UFC. Now
yeah.
she's in the UFC, and now she has the chance to showcase and expand her fan base.
What's weird about talking about Chris is I'm never sure if I'm talking about her or her boyfriend,
who
runs most of her social media.
It might not be.
So I hate talking because I've spent a great deal of time with her one-on-one. It was years ago, but I have, and I really like her as a person. And I see what she posts sometimes. I'm like, what are you thinking?
Right. But if you allow someone else to post on your Twitter handle, you take responsibility for anything that goes on.
You're 100% right, Nate Buchanan.
People like to hide behind that, but it's your Twitter account.
Right. Yeah. Don't let him tweet.
If you don't like it, don't, stand up, control yourself.
That's true.
Can Ray Borg beat Mighty Mouse?
Can he? It's MMA. Will he? I would not put my money behind him, no. Ray Borg's a great fighter. He's got a fantastic takedown, but Demetrius Johnson is just, there are no holes in his game. It's really hard to talk about him as a fighter or talk about matchups with him because normally you can kind of do a little bit of strengths and weaknesses and how they match up with strengths and weaknesses of the opponent, and they're just, he lacks on the whole weakness department.
Okay, what about the heavyweight fight between Fabricio Werdum and Derek Lewis?
Oh my gosh, Derek Lewis. I'm retired. I'm not retired. Love these guys. And for people listening, so Paige VanZant was supposed to be on this card, and she got injured and sick, and she tweeted out this thing like, oh, I'm having a rough day. I've got pink eye. I've got ringworm and a slipped herniated disc and yada, yada, yada.
This time out because I saw that.
Did you see what Derek Lewis said in response?
Before you say the response, you used to fight. You're around these gyms. That's a lot. I feel like, pink eye and ringworm, that's a lot to get. And then she hurt her back. What the hell?
Well, the back injury is really all she... I mean, she was just being funny because I think every fighter's been there. I've had ringworm a million times. I haven't in a while, but I used to get it all the time.
That's a common thing in the fight world?
Very, very. Now, I will say that Glory is pretty meticulous at this point, especially considering James's issue.
Ringworm is like a parasite, right?
No, it's just a fungus.
Oh.
It's a fungus among us.
I thought it was a worm that formed a ring inside your skin or something.
No. There's no actual worm. No. Oh. It's just like you get it more easily if you have an abrasion in your skin, which happens a lot when you're grappling, obviously, and then you get this little red itchy spot and it just kind of spreads.
Okay.
But no, there's no worm involved.
Okay. A highly contagious fungal infection of the skin or scalp.
But you don't want to be wrestling against somebody that has ringworm.
No, because it spreads
that guy's hurting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at that graphic. I don't like that at all. Nope. Boy, he looks uncomfortable. Looks
pink eye is highly contagious.
Yeah.
So you don't want, if somebody's got pink eye or ringworm, you don't want
it. It was like when she tweeted it out.
It was TMI.
Wow. I got pink eye. I got ringworm. I hurt my back. Hey, all right. You stay on that side of the room.
You just need to go look at Derek Lewis's response. I'm not even going to address it because just go look at what Derek Lewis posted when she posted that.
Okay. We'll make the show interactive.
Yes.
And so she's off the car. But anyway, this heavyweight fight, Derek Lewis wins or loses?
I see Fabricio Werdum's experience winning the day here. His striking has improved greatly in the last few years, and he's always been a mission artist. Derek Lewis, though, is extremely dangerous, particularly in the opening round. Unbelievably powerful. He's kind of Brock Lesnar-ish in that he just overwhelms you with size and power.
Did you see Werdum almost get into a fight with Tony Ferguson?
I did. I wanted to speak Spanish and Portuguese at the same time.
Somebody asked, so it was like an informal press gathering. Look, they were like in an outdoor cafe or something.
Yeah, they're at the UFC headquarters in their terrace in the middle.
Oh, so that's nice. Okay, so they're out there and somebody asked Tony Ferguson a question, and they were sitting at tables kind of next to each other. And so Tony Ferguson's answering the question, but somebody, another member of the media had asked Werdum a question. He was answering it
in Portuguese, talking
loud. And then Tony Ferguson turns to him and says, hey, man, shut up. I'm trying to talk. Or something. And then Werdum looks over, and so that it started to go. And then he gets up, and he's mad, and he's just rattling off all kinds of, Spanish and Portuguese.
And English were flying left and right.
It looked like they were, he was mad.
I will say, though, when I go down and do my reporting in Brazil, there is nothing, I don't know what it is, there is nothing harder than trying to, when I have to do my report to the camera, which is one shot, I have to get it one take, they can't edit it. And there's another reporter speaking Portuguese next to me doing something similar, I cannot concentrate to save my life. And I don't know if it's because it's a different language and part of my brain is trying to figure out what they're saying. But anyway, I actually kind of felt bad for Tony because he couldn't string a sentence together when Fabricio was talking next to him.
So what's your official pick for the heavyweight fight?
My official pick would be Fabricio Werdum. I'm going to say submission round two.
All right, so Nate had an interesting question for you based on an interesting day for Cam Newton at a press conference, and then Twitter got a hold of it, and that was a hot topic yesterday, Nate.
Yeah, so I'm just curious because what Cam Newton, he received a question from a female journalist at his news conference yesterday.
She's a beat writer for the team, for the Panthers.
Yeah, so she covers the Panthers on a daily basis, and she was asking some fairly specific questions about Devin Funchess and the routes he's running as a wide receiver. Cam Newton starts kind of giving this smile while she's asking the question, and then she gets done with the question. He says, "It's funny to hear a female asking questions about routes. It's funny." Have you ever had a male MMA fighter say that it's funny if you try to ask specific questions about MMA?
Yes. Not in our interview live, but the thing that sticks out the most in my head was actually the first show I ever did. I interviewed Dennis Bermudez, and he had this really complicated thing that happened to him, and I said, yeah, and then, you know, you drop down and you hit the switch and then da-da-da-da. And when I said hit the switch in particular, his eyes got really big. And I could tell he lost my question and didn't. And he said, can you say that again? So that's the only time I've ever actually had it happen on television. Behind the scenes is usually when I have people say, wow, you really, you know a lot about MMA. And I want to be like, yeah, I cover it. But I mean, for me, obviously, I used to fight. So here's my take on the Cam Newton thing. Slightly in defense of him, when I watched that video, it is annoying as a female reporter in a male sport that happened. I'm going to put that out there. But the look on his face is not like, huh, funny. It's like, oh my gosh, you're cute and I'm impressed that you knew that much. Now, he shouldn't be impressed because that's her job, right? But I guess what I'm saying is his intention behind it did not seem to be.
It was condescending, but it wasn't intentionally condescending.
Exactly.
I think he thought he was giving her a compliment.
He did. I watched that, I think he thinks he's being kind, but it just comes off very condescending.
The majority of female reporters, and especially that cover the NFL, they did not like it. It did not go over well. Let's just give people a chance to hear it. And it's also, again, like Laura said, it's one thing to hear it, then hear it and see it, but mm-hmm. here's the audio.
I know you take a lot of pride in seeing your receivers play well. Devin Funchess has seemed to really embrace the physicality of his routes and getting those extra yards. Does that give you a little bit of an enjoyment to see him kind of truck-sticking people out there?
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes. Like, it's funny. But fun is coming along, man. This is a big game for him because of, you know, him being from Detroit. And, you know, I know he wants this win extremely bad. And just to see his growth over the years, completely different player. We're not just on the field. And, you know, I told him and Benji today, you know, those guys' preparation has been different this year. And, you know, credit the coaching for it. You know, and
that's enough just here.
You know, I wonder if it's different in a sport where it 99 times out of 100 she has not played football
right.
at a high level. So it's even more irritating that, like, yeah, no, I haven't played your sport, but yes, I know a lot about it because this is my job.
And guess what? Most of the beat writers, male or female, that cover the NFL have not played
exactly.
football at a high level.
Exactly.
You take a look at the gathering of media members.
If you see us all in there, that you will not mistake us for a former all-star football team.
What?
When they're gathered.
How many of you guys played in the NFL? You know,
in general, though, I feel like we should not. All the female reporters, let's not get our panties in a wad. Like, let's just. It's fun to surprise people. I think. You know, go ahead and underestimate me. Go ahead and assume. Megan Anderson and I are going to be recording a video a little bit later today that's going to go up on YouTube. And we're going to be recording our mean tweets and our rude YouTubes. And one of the ones I have gotten on more than one occasion is, you know, what does this expletive possibly know about MMA?
Well, it's a jump to conclusions. I will say this.
But you also fought.
Yeah.
And you have
yes.
that.
Yeah.
You can drop that on yeah. anyone.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I can yeah. see her. Yeah. I can see the women in this sport being more annoyed about it because they don't have that ace in the hole of saying, yeah, I played.
Now, like Danny Welniak, who does the sidelines for the Kansas City Chiefs, played professional women's football.
Right.
Yeah, I was just saying, like 99 times out of 100, yeah. I'm sure there are a few.
It's not as high profile as MMA or soccer or tennis, where you see women on a national television level competing at that sport, so maybe it's easier for them to have some of that street cred. But again, I go back to the point that the vast majority of males covering all of these sports have never competed at a high level in those sports. And so that should not be a prerequisite to you being able to ask informed, intelligent questions
Correct.
About those things. One thing that does, this is a complicated situation. I will say this. I've worked with females who got jobs covering sports, who knew nothing about those sports and actually showed very little interest in caring about those sports. And they got those jobs because they looked really good on camera.
Yeah.
That does a disservice to the females like yourself, like this reporter.
Who don't
from,
look good on camera.
Or well, yeah, exactly. I was going to say that.
Let me tell you something. I've seen some male sports anchors in this town
yeah.
that I think they've gotten their jobs because they have nice teeth. And they have nice hair.
Teeth are a big thing for men on television.
Camera, and I listen to them talk. And they don't know what the hell they're talking about.
That's absolutely right. And you know what? Every other male reporter doesn't get judged by that. Doesn't
yeah.
get held to that standard. So it's like, you know, and it's so it's not fair to any female reporter for you to assume that, well, because I know another female reporter who doesn't know what she's talking about, that you don't know what you're talking about, that I'm surprised that you're asking informed, intelligent questions. It's not fair to them. You know, and it's, like I said, I don't think Cam Newton was trying to be condescending. But almost the fact that he didn't realize that was condescending makes it worse.
Makes it more condescending.
Do you know what I mean? Like, well, good for you. You're a female and you actually know a little bit about football. She tweeted out, she said, I don't think it's funny. I think it's my job.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the part that made people upset. And again, I go back to, you look around a room of reporters that are asking questions. Be honest. We've had people work in this radio station who have asked some stupid questions in the past week at place. So, you know, and
yeah.
we're not female. So,
yeah. I can't tell you how many times I had to stop. But for the first couple weeks of the Contender Series, I would read the comments that people would leave under the videos. And so many of them are, oh, man, I know how this chick got her job. Or, you know. Again, back to the, like, oh, I'm sure this expletive knows so much about MMA. And it there is kind of a judgment that, like, if you look a certain way, you have to be
yeah,
airheaded.
You're an attractive blonde, so that's why you got your job.
And
not
I,
because you
I
actually
be smart.
Have a background in MMA and you're good on camera and you know what you're talking about.
And so, like, you know? It's been interesting to watch you since. So how long have you been coming on our show? A couple of years now?
Yeah, a few years.
And so we've been able to see you from the beginning of this journey with the UFC, and now you're getting more and more events and assignments and the Contender Series and going to Brazil a couple of times. What's it been like for you compared to what you thought it would be?
Oh, that's an interesting question. It is more stressful than I thought it would be.
On camera or the preparation and everything else?
Yeah,
dealing
both,
with it?
Okay. Both. The preparation, the work I do for Fox is pretty stressful, especially compared to the amount of time I actually end up on television, mm-hmm. which is pretty minimal. The Contender Series is stressful in a different way because they've got me doing 50 million things at one time and it's live. I much prefer that because kind of live, it is what it is. I feel a little bit more free to be myself and not have to be perfect. So
and you just roll with it.
Just roll with it. Yeah. On Fox, if you
kinda
mess up, they're like, let's start that over. Let's do that one again. And I don't necessarily yeah. care for that. In general, is it what I thought it would be? I don't think I even had any idea. I think maybe I thought it would be. I'm sure there was a part of me that my head thought it would be a little bit more glamorous than it really is. And Nate, I'm sure, can attest to this.
Now, he's extremely glamorous.
Yeah.
Look at him.
I ride limousines everywhere.
Right.
Well, you know, we are both FS1 reporters.
That's right.
You know,
that's right
here. And I'm sure you can attest to that. It's not always glamour backstage, preparation, meetings.
You know, and I'll tell you this, and I think I've told you this before. Yeah, I started ring announcing probably, I don't know, 12 years ago or so. And I really enjoyed it. And I was very, very comfortable as a boxing ring announcer. And then I kind of, you know, made the transition into MMA. And then I was lucky enough, like, the best night I ever had was doing ESPN2, ESPN Wednesday Night Fights out at Municipal Auditorium. And that was awesome. And then and I've never had a problem doing boxing because I've watched so many fights. But MMA is different, you know, and everything you do and the introductions and announcing the decision and everything else. And so then I started, I had a chance to do M1 fighting and some other stuff on HDNet and CBS Sports Network. And I grew to hate it,
yeah.
You know, with the earpiece and having the guy talking to me and all this other, you know, it wasn't fun. And so then I was doing at least probably one every other month, and I had a chance to go and do some out of town, and I was starting to do pretty well. And it got to the point where, and I think you can, I did talk to Jake about this because he was in TV and doing stuff. I would have so much anxiety the week leading up to
yes.
it.
Yes. Yeah.
And the night and the day of to where like, I'm not even, this is, I hate this. I hate it. Until it ended up, I was doing a TV card, a nationally televised card on CBS Sports Network. And I was working with a producer who was the biggest a-hole that I've ever met in my life before, and this guy, and he said something, and I did what he said, but he had told me to do the wrong thing, and so instead of accepting response, he threw me under the bus and started cussing me out. In you know, I go, whoa, I did what you said to do, but it didn't come, and so then he started throwing me under the bus, and it got. I can tell you the full story off the air,
but
it got unbelievably ugly, and I'm never doing TV again. And so I stopped ring announcing for like 2 years, and then the fellas from KCFA approached me. I said, as long as it's not on TV and I can just have fun and ring announce and enjoy the fights, I'm in. I'll do it. And I might do TV again if I had the chance, but it got to the point where I had so much anxiety about it. It was so unenjoyable. It turned into something I always wanted to do. Like, I don't want to do this anymore.
To me, the anxiety turned into an adrenaline rush that I've been missing since I quit fighting.
And see, that's what I get, like, on Saturday night when I did that.
It very much replaces that for me.
I love it.
Yeah.
And you see how much fun I'm having? Because I am having fun. I'm getting in there. I'm enjoying the fights. I'm interacting with the crowd. That's great. Now I don't have to worry about some butthole in my ear. You know, I'm out there. I'm having fun. Yeah,
butthole in my ear.
That's what I love about the play-by-play aspect of things is that you get to be involved in the actual emotion of the game itself or the event itself. I was talking to a couple of the sporting players on the eve of the Open Cup final, and you got that adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
And I remember I was talking to Tim Million. He was asking me about how I prepared for the game as opposed to how he prepares for the game. I said, you know, the thing is, man, every one of us, if we could, we'd be out on the field like you guys. Like, if we had our choice, if you had your choice, you'd be in the ring fighting, you know, you know, as the heavyweight
if
or
I
whatever.
I could pick my opponent, I got to list about three or four of them.
If I was good enough, I'd be on the field playing in this game, but I'm not. So the next best thing, you know, part of being a fan in a lot of ways is the next best thing because you get to be emotionally wrapped up and just go crazy. But being involved in a broadcast of a big event gives you this feeling that I'm involved in this. And emotionally, that same adrenaline rush like you talked about of being involved in the moment is what makes all the other stuff that you just talked about worth it.
Bearable, yeah.
You know, and the thing I always admire about your situation is I the work-family-life balance of traveling to away games and all that stuff for me is one that I try to balance on a – it's a constant struggle, you know, to – make sure I'm not cheating my family out of the time they deserve. And I mean, that you when you're traveling to Brazil and places like that all the time, going to Las Vegas, I'm sure that's a challenge too, you know?
It is. And my husband has been incredibly patient, and we have a fantastic nanny who kind of helps fill the gaps.
And I'll say this. I've told you this off the air. I haven't said this on the air, but we're incredibly proud of you because we've watched you start to emerge as a rising star in this in this game, and I think that the best is yet to come. You got a lot of great stuff ahead of you.
Big stuff around the corner.
When do you know when your next travel date is?
I do. Yes, I'm going to be in Norfolk, Virginia. I'm going to be in New York for UFC 217, hosting a red purple carpet because it's Metro PCS. So I'm not going to be working the fights themselves, but I'm going to be there and hopefully get a chance to attend the fights as a fan.
Do you like seafood? Wow.
I love seafood.
Okay, when you have you been to Norfolk before?
I've not.
I've been there. It's very close to Virginia Beach.
Captain D's.
There is a
unbelievable.
It's delicious.
I was going to say Long John.
Give the Hush Puppies
yeah.
if you would. I don't
Any place where you can just order two fish.
Yes.
It doesn't say what kind.
Just
I'd like the
fish.
The
what?
Two-piece fish order.
Fish, isn't it? Yeah, well.
Yeah, I'll tell you off the air about it. Okay. There's some great seafood places right on Virginia Beach. There.
Perfect.
And
thank
I'm going to go to Captain D's later today for lunch. Laura Sanko, thank you so much for the time. We
Thanks,
appreciate
guys.
It. That's Laura Sanko talking to UFC 216. Back after this on WHB.